Banana slugs are functionally simultaneous hermaphrodites, meaning two individuals can simultaneously reproduce with each other. Because of this, they essentially race to finish in the one that comes to fruition the fastest, often chews off and consumes the penis of the slower, the ejaculators. Barnacles have the largest penis length to body size ratio in the animal kingdom. Their penis is a long filament that they extend and use to grope around them for a reproductive partner. Most people, I'm sure, know that ducks have a high rate of rape, and might also know that male ducks often have a long corkscrew-shaped penis. Because of this, female Muscovy ducks have evolved to have a corkscrew oviduct, which is analogous to her vagina. And these corkscrew in the opposite direction of the male's penis. Meaning if they don't completely relax their muscles, the male cannot fully penetrate the female. In certain spider species, the males have an interesting way to ensure their reproductive success with females who often mate with multiple males. They will deposit their spermatophore, which is basically a glob of semen. they'll deposit it on the end of one of their legs, and then use their leg to insert it inside the female. And they'll then snap their leg off inside of her, effectively plugging her up and preventing her from copulating with any other males. Male honeybees have a similar strategy, except they will go so far as to snap their penis off inside of a queen bee via essentially exploding testicles. And unfortunately for them, this causes them their near immediate death. Giant pandas are easily stressed animals and already have an extremely low sex drive in the wild. So to help their sex drive, captive pandas that are part of a global zoo-wide breeding program are shown porn before they're introduced to each other. This porn is footage of other pandas mating. That's right. Oh, there's panda porn. Oh god. Male scorpions have a lot to deal with females who more often than not will attempt to eat males rather than reproduce with them. So, to deal with this, the males will clasp the pincers of the female in their own pincers and perform a mating dance or ritual. While they're doing so, they're finding a suitable place on the ground to drop their spermatophore. Once they do that, they move backwards and drag the female over the spermatophore, which pushes it into her genital opercula. Oh, God. Which is very much like our vaginal opening. Several species of pulmonate snails are hermaphroditic. And they use what is called a love dart in their mating rituals. It's stored in what's called the stylophore, or the dart sac, alongside their genitals. And during their mating ritual, the snails will circle each other. Oh, God. And then, pierce each other with their love darts. These love darts don't actually have the sperm on them. Oh, God. But they do release a hormone in the other snail that ensures a increased survival rate for sperm. The two snails then simultaneously copulate. As most of you already probably know, male seahorses become pregnant and give birth instead of the females. Fuck. Oh, God. The male has a brooding pouch, and the female has an oviduct that protrudes so she can insert it in the male's brooding pouch and deposit the eggs. Oh, God. When it comes time to give birth, the male's contractant rapidly shoot the young out of the brooding pouch, and it kind of looks like they're sneezing. The anglerfish, also known as the monkfish, are extremely, sexually dimorphic. The males can be, up to 10 times smaller than the females. And they live most of their lives as parasites. If and when they find a female, they latch onto her side. And eventually fuse with her. To the point that their blood vessels join, so the males no longer need to provide their own sustenance. And as a result, they lose almost all of their organs, including their eyes and their mouth. The only thing they retain, their testes. So they end up just looking like bumps on the skin of the female. Oh. A female can sustain several males on her at once. Unless she swims around with an almost unlimited supply of sperm for mating. Turkeys that are raised for human consumption on a turkey farm have been so selectively bred for so long that their pectoralis muscle, which is the muscle in a turkey breast, is so large they can no longer reproduce naturally. Males can no longer physically mount the females. Because of this, turkey farms now almost solely use artificial insemination. Which kind of brings a whole new meaning. Will taste the urine of the female to determine if she's an estrus. He does this by headbutting her rump to induce urination. If she is an estrus, he'll proceed to follow her around, attempting to mount her until she allows him to. There's an Australian beetle called the jewel beetle that bears a remarkable resemblance to brown beer bottles. Well, I guess actually, the beer bottles look a lot like female jewel beetles. They have the same, oh my god, coppery brown sheen. And that little dimple at the bottom of the bottle reflects light in the same way that a female's wing covers do. Which means the poor male jewel beetle will spend hours attempting to mate with a beer bottle when it finds it, until eventually it dies from being out in the sun exerting itself. Schools of clownfish are primarily composed of one female or a few female and several males. Oh fuck. Oh god. If the female dies, the largest breeding male will change his sex to a female and then proceed to reproduce with the other males in the school. That's right, they're also hermaphrodites. Which means that in Finding Nemo, after Coral died, what really should have happened is Marlin should have changed sex to a female and eventually mated with Nemo. But I don't think Pixar wanted to do that. Like, oh god, okay. I'm an Optera, which is because of bees, or insects and bees, ants and wasps. Haplodiploidy sex determination, which means that the sex of an off individual is determined by the number of chromosomes it possesses. Oh god. Unfertilized eggs are female. Well, unfertilized eggs are male. And in a colony structure where there's a single reproductive female. Oh my god. Which most ants and bees have. This creates creates a system where worker females have a relatedness factor of 0.75 to each other versus more common sex determination systems like our own, where siblings have a potential relatedness factor of 0.5. This means that reproductive success incentives are structured differently. And female workers are thus willing to sacrifice themselves for the good of the colony. Because their genes are going to be passed down via their worker siblings. It's called eusociality, which is commonly confused with altruism. Fuck. Okay. Oh god. Sea hares are a type of sea slug. Also, functionally simultaneous hermaphrodites. Oh god. Which is kind of the trend. Because hermaphrodites are fucking kinky. Oh fuck. Oh god. When reproducing, they will often form what is called a mating chain. Where the individual in front is acting as the female for the individual behind them, and so on, in a long chain. And sometimes this chain, oh my god, oh, sometimes this chain will loop on itself. And form a circle of continuous copulation. Oh god. Oh. All the fun facts I could get through before I came. Hope you learned something.